Midlife Surfer podcast listener.
Put your hands in the air. Put your hands in the air.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for joining me again. God bless you for joining me. Happy shelter in place. What are we, week six or something like that? This is Jeff. I'm here to say hi to you. It's 6:25 a.m. Saturday morning. I'm up early. I'm not humble bragging, but I'm up in the office doing a little bit of work. Had some stuff to catch up on. And I just wanted to tell you, I went surfing. Here's one thing. I went surfing in Davenport. I wanted to tell you about it. Secondly, I wanted to say, is there anything more cliche? I was just thinking this. You say to someone, my friend, hey, I started a podcast. Is that not the... I mean, that's 2020 jump the shark type shit right there. I started a podcast. Oh, cool. And on that note, I did start a podcast, as cliche as that is. And how many podcasts are out there? Probably thousands, millions maybe. I may do these once a week. I may do them once a month. We don't know the frequency, but we're on episode 7, and that's cool. And we've been consistent with it. And I've really enjoyed having Eric on. I want to have Eric on more. And that was all I wanted to get out. That saying I started a podcast is cliche and kind of jumped the sharky, but you know, you got to do it. If you want to do it, you got to do it. Have you been wearing a mask? Have you worn a ventilator mask in public yet? Around your nose and your mouth? It's a trip. I'm kind of done it a hand. I don't know. Done a lot now, I guess. Hitting CVS and the UPS store. The first time I did it, I got an underground haircut. I called my lady and she picked it up. She said, "Hello, Jeff." And I said, "Hey, it's illegal to do haircuts right now, isn't it?" She goes, "Yes." And there's silence on the phone. She said, "You need one?" And I said, "I do. I need one." She goes, "Okay, 1 o'clock. I said, "Yeah. Okay, cool. Hey, I'll wear a mask." That's what I said back to her on the phone before she hung up. And she goes, which I didn't know what the hell that meant. But I brought the mask, and it was one of those N95 masks. It was the ones that we were going to go to war with China over to get over here to get to hospitals. So you have a little shame. I'm rocking tip-top masks. This is my yard blowing mask too. I mean, the same mask that I wear when I do yard work out front, and I do have a gas blower, and they are annoying. So, I knock on the. Actually, I walk up to the door. No one's in the parking lot. So I was. She wasn't playing. I mean, she's really not allowed to give haircuts. And we get to the parking lot, and the door is closed. The blinds are drawn. Basically, damn near a closed sign. Probably was. And so I realized I cannot be eager about this. I got to be cool. So I walk kind of parallel. But first of all, put my mask on, snap that baby to the back of my head. Yeah, it's odd wearing a mask in public. I mean, I've seen plenty of people, namely, you know, Asian culture wears masks in public. Not the first time I've seen masks in public. Now we're all doing it. And I guess it's for the better. If that means getting this economy going again and everyone can go surfing again in San Diego and the like, then damn, I'll wear a mask out to the lineup. No problem. So the door was locked. I walk up to it parallel, like I'm walking past the store. And then real quick, I lean into the door, try to open it, try to slide in. Locked. I tap it. Door opens. No more than 8 inches. There is my hair cutting lady with a mask herself and gloves. She goes, "Come in, Jeff." Lets me in, close the door, locks it. And my haircut followed. So as you can tell, I look good right now. Second time I wore a mask was going to the UPS store. And unlike my hair cutting lady, UPS store is doing great in business, as far as I can tell. Maybe it's a 6 feet social distancing thing, but literally the line's out the door. It's because we had to, I don't know. The line's out the door, and it's a nice friendly owner there, and he has his mask on. "Hey, nice to see you again." He's one of the few, he's upbeat right now during coronavirus because I think, you know, obviously they're busy. Amazon, people are shipping, people are doing returns. How many Amazon returns go out? Anyway,
hey there, welcome, nice to see you again.
He's like the only happy guy you see during this COVID-19 deal. He's the only happy guy you see wearing a damn mask. I bought a bunch of handkerchiefs, bandanas, I guess they're called. I thought it'd be a cool excuse to wear those. I just got black, did not get any colors. I don't want to walk in the wrong neighborhood and meet my maker before Corona takes me. And speaking of Corona, we're sheltered in place. We're walking around the neighborhood. There's a couple things I don't mind. I actually don't mind. If everyone had to wear masks outside, God bless you. Let's do it. And maybe we'll all get less sick overall. It does suck. But if that's what it takes to get going again, let's go. Gloves, not in on gloves. But I'm in on hand sanitizer, and I'm in on trying to touch my face less. What else am I in on? I'm not opposed to the 6-foot social distancing, standing in a line, just in general, keeping your distance from people. I'm not opposed to that. I'm not necessarily an affectionate guy. I'm, you know, a hug is fine and I like shaking hands and all that stuff. I'm a back slapping, deal making kind of guy. All right. No, but you know, I don't mind having to stand 6 feet behind, you know, the lady at Whole Foods. And more to the point, someone has to stand 6 feet behind me. That homeless guy has to stand 6 feet behind me. Back off me with your smells. So I don't mind that either. And then also I noticed the stores have these glass kind of, they look like bank teller, bulletproof plexiglass protection deals, windows. And that's probably a good idea too. So we may take some things away from this. I'm not necessarily sure we will come out better. I don't know. But we are going to come out, hopefully, with more glass in front of CVS and Jamba Juice employees. Maybe we have to wear masks a little more. Fine. Maybe we keep our social distance a little more. And you know what another benefit of that is? I have two boys and, you know, you have kids and you know, you're a... Your public enemy, your kids are public enemy number one right now if you're an elderly couple, and we have plenty in our neighborhood. And you know it, I know it, this awkward moment, it's no longer awkward because we've done it enough now where you see an older fella jogging or older lady walking with her friend or her husband, and you cross the street, whoop, 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 you cross the street as if you see someone walking your way holding a gun in a fast motion. But it's a respectful deal, and you're not offending anybody. They appreciate you doing it, and it limits bullshit small talk with neighbors. I've done enough bullshit small talk with neighbors for, you know, as long as I've lived here, for years. Now I don't have to do that as much. It mitigates bullshit small talk. Other than like, how are you getting through? We're hanging in there. It's a nice day today. Anyway. Okay, let's talk surf real quick. I went surfing. I went surfing yesterday. Surfing is no longer illegal again. Surfing, in fact, is allowed. In fact, I'm going to pause this. I need to get some work done. I'm going to return. I'm going to tell you about my surf session. And who knows? That may just be enough to qualify as a podcast episode, and I could post this and send it to the hands of God. Talk soon. And we're back. Okay. It has been 4 days since I recorded the first half of this podcast. No guests today. I'm not spitting any knowledge. You're not going to learn a damn thing about on this episode. Again, once a week is the goal, quality or no quality. And God bless you for sticking with me on this. Anyway, I went surfing at Davenport. Let's see, early Friday morning sunrise. It's a left, and I suck at going left because I'm regular footed, which is why I probably should surf Davenport more because, you know, a good left. I think it's cool to watch a dude go backside who's regular footed. Nat Young is a Santa Cruz surfer, not the Australian Nat Young, but you may recall if you're a WSL fan. Nat Young out of Santa Cruz, he's a pro. He's now I think on the qualifying tour, fell off the main stage. But anyway, he's a backside surfer and a goofy footer. And when you see him surf at the lane, he does a top turn that is like, I don't know what the clock analogy would be. It is 12 to 6 would be the nose of his board. I mean, like straight up 12 and then straight vertical 6. Kick kicks off so much water. Anyway, really killer to watch. For me, when I go backside, I'm in a horrible habit of always grabbing my rail, which isn't necessarily a bad habit because it keeps you low. But so I make my turn, I catch the wave, I pop up, get my front leg under me, and I grab the rail and I turn left like I'm doing chopu or something and getting barreled. And then from there, I try to kind of stand up and do some sort of turn, and I probably just end up awkwardly going straight until my ride ends. So Davenport was cranking left, dude. It was 5-6 feet, probably head high. So many people out because surfing's legal again in Santa Cruz. Only at specific beaches, though, not state properties, just Santa Cruz beaches. So I went surfing at Davenport, as I said, and there was probably 25 people out there already at sunrise. It was just absolutely nuts because everyone wants to go surfing. Granted, we all kept our social distancing. Just by nature of social distancing alone, of surfing alone, you keep a 6-foot distance from people, period. Now, whether or not they're coughing and that salt water is carrying COVID-19 and I'm inhaling it, and I inhaled a lot of water, as I'll get to here, that's another story, and that may very well be, but it's a risk I was willing to take, and I don't know, fuck off if you got a problem with it. So there was a left, and so I paddled out there, went out with a couple buddies, and kind of was just hanging on the shoulder, getting the feel for things. A lot of good surfers out there. What board did I bring, you ask? I brought my 710 trusty Junot Egg, which is just a great all-around board for me. Here's where it has its faults. The Egg, that is. I reckon it's about 53, 54 liters. Pretty floaty. Hard to duck dive. I was on the shoulder. I paddled. I was shoulder hopping. Pussy way to surf. You really want to get going, you got to go to the main peak. You got to get aggressive if you want to get it on. So after a set came through or two, I decided, well, it'd been kind of a lull. I got a little antsy, and I started paddling toward the middle peak. But I wasn't paddling out. I was paddling in and then going toward the middle peak. Big mistake, because as I paddled out, here comes a 4 or 5 wave set. I'm in no position to catch anything. I'm in more of a position to get beat up on the inside. So now's the time to practice the turtle rolls. And I hadn't turtle rolled in so long, you know, instead of duck diving, you flip your board over and you basically flip the board over upside down. You dangle on it underwater. You know, imagine carrying the board on top of your head like we're in a Gidget. Or was it Gidget? Yeah, those old Gidget and Frankie Avalon movies. That's kind of what you do with a turtle roll, only in the water. And the idea is the wave passes over you, the white water, that is. First wave come. I'm paddling as fast as I can. Oh, fuck, I got a turtle roll. Flip that bitch over. Water definitely tried to pull that board out from over out of my hands, but I survived. Popped up, a little out of breath, probably swallowed some COVID-19 in the water, paddled toward that next one. Another one hit me. Good. Didn't flip the board over fast enough. Wanted to rip that board out of my hands. The idea is that you flip the board over so it's parallel with the surface of the water. That is, it's dead flat on the water. The water's going to slide over it. However, if, say, your board is angled upward in any way, if there's any space for, if there's a surface for that water to catch your board and push that board back, you know, imagine a sail. You know, if your board gets perpendicular with the wave coming at you, you're screwed. It wants to rip it out of your hands. Luckily, I had it at an angle where it did push me back, but it didn't rip the board out of my hands. 3 or 4 more of those guys. And you ever get pounded and you're thinking, this is the part where I think you get good at surfing, or at least this is what I take from things. You're out of breath. You're getting it handed to you. I'm worried that I'm going to get slammed into the rocks. All the other surfers around me have disappeared because the sets are coming. They're either paddling outside or they're getting beat up themselves, duck diving over and over again. Where it's like that 4th or 5th, and you are just all of a sudden exhausted, probably more mentally exhausted than physically. You're out of breath. You know, maybe you swallowed some water. Whew, underwater. You get rocked real good. You know, you're underwater for a couple seconds. Pop back up. All you want to do is pop up, hop on your board and see no more waves so you can, you know, leisurely paddle back out to the lineup. But no, there's a whole bunch of waves coming at you. You have to gather your laurels. You have to take a deep breath. You have to say, I'm going to be okay. Keep doing what I'm doing. This will end. But as it's happening, it's a different story. I mean, I can't lie. I get spooked sometimes. Not spooked, but if it's 5-6 feet, that's about as big as wave I like charging on. Especially if you're in the wrong position. Because, you know, it's a couple tons of water, I believe. And it could really give you a beating. So you got to keep your mind right. You got to breathe deeply. You got to realize you're going to get through this. And that's what I did. And in fact, the storm passed. The set passed. I didn't get beat up too bad. And I was able to paddle back out to the lineup. This time, I paddled back to the shoulder because I did not want to get my ass kicked again. So I had to do a quick out. I had to be out of the water by about 7:30. So 6:30 to 7:30 a.m., I had to get to work. It was already 7:20. Hadn't caught a wave. Only thing I did was just get beat up on the inside. A lot of surfers catching waves, probably not being as aggressive as I'd like. I went out to the main peak this time. I was way outside, so if a big set came, I wouldn't be caught inside. Basically, the perfect wave came my way. I turned to paddle for it, and right behind me is another asshole on a shortboard who starts paddling for the same thing. Not to my right, not to my left, but right under me. Have you had that happen to you? Say you're out there at the main peak, there's someone 10 feet behind you, like directly behind you. You turn on a wave, you start going, and you realize, oh, fuck, if I catch this, I'm going right into dude. Maybe other surfers would be into that. Like, you know what? Screw that guy. I'll go right into him. Teach him. Last thing I want to do is injure anybody. Get in a confrontation. Get in a collision. I was in the perfect spot. I turn to paddle, and there's that guy. I turn around. He's 10 feet in front of me. And as I feel the tail of my tail lift, the wave picks me up. I realize this is going to be a nice big drop. We're talking 5-6 foot wave. It really starts cooking. I mean, you got to pop up and turn and get going down the line, and let you know. And it's just too critical for me. I wasn't able to do all of that while worrying about killing this 45-year-old asshole who was going to paddle for the same wave. So I just bailed on it. I put the weight on the tail and just let the wave float past me, and then. Dude who was 10 feet behind me picks it up, has a great ride to the left. So that pissed me off. My buddy who I was surfing with cruised out to me. He said, dude, you were in the perfect spot. I go, I know. I didn't want to land on that guy. He said, I know. I would have done the same thing. I wouldn't have done the same thing if I was that dude. I would have seen someone turn to go, and I would have gotten the fuck out of the way. Lord knows I waited my turn. Anyway, so... then it came down to about 7:20, 7:25. Long and short of it is I had about 5 minutes left. And now I'm in my head. Now I'm like, I got to get one of these lefts. I just have to. And I floated out there. One came my way. Always mid-conversation is when the wave comes, I swear. You're yapping with someone and then, oh, I got to go. Turn around, paddled into it. Easy breezy takeoff. That's the thing I like about this 7:10 is it just gives you a nice gliding takeoff. Popped up, grabbed my rail, as I said I tend to do, as I'm... want to do. Took a nice left, held my rail, popped up eventually, kind of stood up a little bit, got to the bottom, did a nice, not, I don't want to say nice, in my head, nice, got to the bottom, then took a little bottom turn, got back up into the pocket, cruised a little bit, cruised for, I don't know, 50, 60 yards. And you know, that whole time you pop up and you're like, yes, I finally got one. Okay, at least I can go back to my car without my tail between my legs, knowing I at least got a damn wave. And that's all that happened. I got beat up on the inside. I got a nice left. Since then, I've been surfing twice since then. Took my 7:10 out to the hook on a pretty big fucking day. It was weird. You know, Surfline had the waves coming to fruition at about 3 to 4 feet. I think it was a northwest swell. And there was also some south in the water. The swells, I still have a lot to figure out because, you know, the south listed at like 1.5 feet at 15 seconds. And I understand the swell period is among the most important metric there. Then like the northwest swell was a lot bigger. It was 4 or 5 feet, but it was at 9 seconds. So I don't know which waves were the keepers and which weren't, but there were some big ones on the outside that came through. And I didn't get any set waves, any bombs, but I did get 2 or 3 solid rides on the 7:10. And then I woke up the next morning, 5 a.m. I had the bug. I had to get out there again. So I went out. This time I took my 6:08 stretch, and I have a list of COVID goals. One of them says surf the stretch 5 to 6 times, get decent at it. And I got to say, finally, this was the most competent I felt on that 6:08 stretch that I have ever felt before, which is so weird. It's not the length of the board that's the issue. Again, I had that weirdo ripper, 6'2", even less volume. I've had a mini Simmons at 5'10", at 39 liters, 40 liters. I was able to catch more waves than I can on this 6'8", 42 liter stretch. But today, or rather yesterday morning, it worked. And now I was not killing the game. In fact, I blew a goddamn set wave. Everybody was watching. Have you ever, I had four or five little tiny ones on the inside. I kind of got my sea legs. I'm like, all right, I'm getting the timing down. I've been scooting up on the board a lot more till it's kind of uncomfortable. Because you need that forward momentum when a wave picks you up to catch anything. You don't want to be too far back on the board dragging. But so I had four or five waves. I wasn't connecting the sections, but I was popping up, going down the line. Then they were kind of closing out. But nevertheless, I was feeling good. I was getting the vibe of the board. And then I'm at first peak at the hook and I'm in position. No one's going to compete with me on this baby. It's all mine. All the other surfers reluctantly concede that it's my wave. They're wishing they had it. I turn, I paddle, I catch the wave. And as I'm looking, I haven't popped up yet. I'm looking down the line. In my head, I'm already pumping. I was thinking, I'm going to pop up and do a quick turn down the line and start just pumping, getting speed. This is what was all happening in my head while I'm supposed to be focusing on just getting my front left foot under my chest, popping up and staying low and then figuring it out. Nope. I had already surfed it in my mind. And as I was looking down the line, about to pop up, my hand slipped. My front foot didn't come right under my chest. In fact, it came under my balls, kind of like both of my, I've popped up, my feet were on the tail, basically. In other words, everyone watched me as I stood up. I waved my arms frantically, trying to keep my balance, and I shamefully fell right off the board as the wave of my day passed by me, and it peeled down the line. There was no closeouts, nothing. And I tell you what, when there's, 15, 16 surfers out there, and they likely watched you just blow it, there's nothing. Well, I'm sure there's plenty more humbling things to happen to you, but that is pretty damn humbling. And as I'm underwater about to pop up and grab my board in shame, you just don't even want to pop up out of the water. You're just like, I'll just stay underwater here for 10 minutes until people forgot that I just blew that wave. And it just sucks. And then you're mad at yourself because you come out there, you wake up early, you strap your wetsuit on, you wax the board, you get out there, you wait, you position, you read the lineup. There's the good guy. There's the asshole. There's the person here. You know, I'm going to let him get the first wave because he's going to get anything he wants anyway. And this guy's kind of kooky. I wouldn't worry about him and blah, blah, blah. And then finally you get your opportunity and you blow it. The worst. But it's like golf. And I don't golf much, but it's the closest analogy I can draw. You know, you get one or two of those shots and you look, you know what? Yes, I did slice it onto the third fairway on the second tee. And yes, I can't putt worth a shit, but I did have that 7-iron, that 160 smooth draw that landed right on the green. And I did have that, sand wedge, and I did have that 5-iron off that, off the 180 yard, par 3 tee box. And you know you have it in you to do it. It's just putting it all together consistently. And I think surfing more frequently certainly helps that. My average is about once a week. If you listen to episode 2 or 3, where I quoted the great Bill Stretch Rydell, he says I got to be out there 3 times a week. But with the family and with a wife who works and I work as much as I can, it's tough to pull off. But anyway, those are my 3 surfing experiences. And I'm going to consult my notes real quick to see if there's any other things I wanted to mention before I log out. Stand by. No, that was about it. That was my surf experience. Haven't watched any surf films this week. I have been looking at vintage surfer magazines my father-in-law gave me. And there's one really classic O'Neill ad. And the shapes are a trip. They're really highly glassed. They look like the boards are in the 6'8 to 7'6 range. And there's no leash plugs. It's cool. If you don't look at vintage boards, I'll post it on Instagram for you to check out. Of course, I am a Midlife Surfer Podcast on Instagram. Also, Jeff at Midlife Surfer. I've been talking to a guy in Portugal, Traction Pad Company. I only have a little under 500 downloads. I don't know how many subscribers I have, but thank you for downloading. There's been 6 or 7 episodes now. I told the dude, let me get to 1,000. Let me get a little more volume going listening wise. And I think it'd be a more valuable giveaway because we'd have more people engaged. So I don't think you can call that a sponsor, but it could be some incentive to listen to the podcast and leave a review. Go to iTunes, give me some stars, leave a review. If you leave a comment, you get free wax. I'll ship you a free bar of wax. Just leave a comment. Shoot me an email at jeff@midlifesurfer. Let me know where to ship it. I'll ship you a half a bar of wax, likely one that I've also used on my board. And like I said, we could share our wax surfing experience. How do you like that for a giveaway? I mean, you know everyone has a podcast when that's the only giveaway I can come up with. But anyway, everyone's got a podcast now. Everyone's got an Instagram account. Everyone's sheltered in place. Everyone thinks their opinion is the most important thing to be heard. And while I say I don't have that mindset, it turns out perhaps I do because I've been blabbing into my iPhone these last month and a half, 2 months, basically just rambling about my personal experiences or lack of experience surfing and the struggle that is. But God bless you. I hope you're looking at Craigslist, looking at surfboards. I hope you like watching surf movies, specifically Mason Ho on YouTube, because that's definitely worth checking out. Torin Martin is another one. My wife has a huge crush on him. He surfs mid-lengths that are twin fins. He's Australian and he's freaking badass. I'm going to try to take this stretch out a little bit more. I want to take that weirdo ripper out now too. I'm back on a shortboard kick. I feel like I'm near a breakthrough. I really do. I could probably surf 50, 60% of the time when I catch a wave on my shortboard. I can get it under my feet, right positioning, and feel competent. And that's my goal now, to be a competent surfer. So I'll keep you posted. By the way, one of my COVID goals was doing a backside 180 ollie on my skateboard, not a front side. Front sides are easy for me. And I think they're easy for a lot of people if you're learning to skate. Backside 180 ollie, haven't made any progress. I've probably regressed because I haven't been skating much at all. Been going on walks with my kid, still shooting a little bit of hoops. Got a Nintendo Switch we're borrowing from a neighbor, and that may or may not be healthy for my kids, but I sure enjoy playing Mario Kart with them. And that's all I got. I want you to stay safe. If you have to wear a mask, wear a mask. Oh, this is funny. I got a bandana that I wear, and one, it's just a good excuse to wear a bandana around your mouth, you know what I mean? And walk into a liquor store or whatever with a bandana like you're going to rob the place, but you're not. I didn't do Crips or Bloods colors. I didn't do purple. That seemed like that'd be a gang color too. I'm sure yellow in some areas. I chose black. But on the bandana, the inscription reads loud and clear, "Made in China." And how perfect is that, as I must be wearing this bandana in public from something that apparently started over there. But that's neither here nor there, my friend. I love you for listening, and God bless you for making it through the end of this podcast. Catch you next time.
Peace.